Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home. We are all looking for a place to feel at home. Pastor Jesse Wagoner and the congregation of Mount Calvary Baptist are ready to welcome you, because when you're here, you're home. With their warm, welcoming environment, you will feel right at home as you experience the life-changing power of Christ. Mount Calvary is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia, at the Westmoreland exit, half mile north of the I-64, I-77 split. To learn more, visit calvarywv.com.
Cannot hold you, built are before you. Well, today I'm excited to take you into Isaiah chapter 40. And if you have a Bible available, get it open, get it out there, and let's study God's Word together. And probably many of you are familiar with this passage of Scripture. We're going to look primarily at verses 28, 29, 30, and 31, the last verses of this chapter. We want to get a little of the context as well. But let me read these verses together. And if you can follow along in your text of Scripture, I'd encourage you to do that. We're in Isaiah chapter 40. It says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You've probably heard those words before. Maybe you studied this before. But you think about this. This is the promise from God, that God wants to give you His strength. He promises to give you strength. That's what's right here in the text. And we know we need strength, right? We need spiritual strength. We need physical strength. We need emotional strength. We need the strength of character to stand firm against temptation. We need strength. And we also know we're very weak. We need strength. But here's the great news. Here's the great news. God promises to provide His strength to you as one of His children. He can give us strength that will pass our strength, pass our understanding, strength that will go beyond, strength that will help us to endure, help us to stand firm in the faith, help us to stand firm when our faith is challenged. He'll give us strength to do and accomplish what He wants us to do, to be the dads and the moms and the husbands and the wives and the children and the people and the citizens and the servants of God He calls us to do. He will give you strength. You need some strength today? I think every one of us could raise our hand on that one, right? We need some strength. We realize it. We feel it. But His strength is there. He promises this strength. Well, in verse 28, it says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard?" This should be common knowledge. And I also want to talk now, that's the promise, okay? He'll give us strength. But I want to talk about this transaction. How we relate to this. How do we interact with this? This truth of God's promise of giving us strength. And the first thing we need to see is this. We should be shocked by how strong God is. And that's what He's talking about. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Have you not heard? Have you not been listening? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the heavens and creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. And His knowledge, His understanding is unsearchable. God is great. That He starts with that premise. Now, you go all the way back to the very first verse of chapter 40. It says, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says the Lord. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her." Because so much of what is in the book of Isaiah and Isaiah's prophecy was difficult for them to hear. Because God was going to punish them because of a recurring problem, a recurring sin of them giving themselves over to idolatry, worshiping of false gods and images and all the rest of it. And God has had enough, and He's going to take them into captivity for 7 years. Through this chastening and through this punishment, He's going to get this tendency to worship idols out of them once and for all. But He's using some comparisons and contrasts to show us how great God is. He tells us, like in verse 12 is a good example, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, measured the heavens with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure." If you put your hand up this way and you took some water and you poured it in your hand, the part where the water would pool in the palm of your hand, that little depression, is the hollow of your hand. And He's saying the waters, 4/5 of the planet is covered with it. Some parts of the ocean and Pacific are more than 20,000 feet deep. We can barely calculate how much water there is in this planet. God holds it all in that little depression in His hand, the hollow of His hand. He can measure the heavens, and from our point of view, as best we know, it's infinite. The further we can see out in space, the more we can see how big it is. It says He measured with a span. A span is the length of distance between the tip of the little finger and the thumb. That's how they would measure things in Bible times. A span. No problem. Well, that's how big it is to God. God is great. God is big enough. Be shocked of how strong God is. The first part of this transaction is to know that God is able, to think on Him. And remember this, He has infinite strength. Have you not known? Have you not heard? That's what He says in verse 28. The everlasting God, the God who is the all of everything. He is all in time, all eternal. He's all knowing, all wise, all has all ability, all powerful. All present, all those things about God. He is big. We have a big God. We have a strong God. We have an infinitely strong God. Every once in a while, that's what we need to get through the pages of Scripture and through our meditating on His truth and allowing the Spirit of God to speak to us to remind us that indeed God is a God of strength. That's the reason it says in verse 28, He neither faints nor is weary. You and I get weary. We put in some hours in the day and we have to go to sleep for 6, 7, 8 hours just to survive and to renew our strength and gain our strength physically. God doesn't sleep. He never slumbers. He never grows weary, never grows tired. He created everything that existed in 6 days, the book of Genesis tells us in that revelation of creation. And then the seventh day, it says He rested. We rest on a Sabbath day or a day of worship because our bodies and our hearts need it. God rested because He was finished, not because He was weary, not because He was tired, but because He was done. He had completed everything He needed to do. He is a God of infinite strength. And the great news is He's willing to share this strength. Did you see that? He gives power, verse 29, He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. That is you and I in verse 29. He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. We don't have any might. We don't have any strength. We're weak. And that's the second thing in this transaction we needed to understand. God is a great God. Be shocked of how strong He is, as much as we can comprehend that. And if you want to, read all of chapter 40 sometime very, very soon and just be impressed with the contrast and those sort of things. He talks in verse 15 about the nations of the earth, the powerful, mighty nations. All those nations have come and gone, those that think they're special today and big and strong. He says, they're like a drop in a bucket. You're carrying a bucket of water and a little drop of water goes over the side and you lose that amount. You don't even notice it. The bucket doesn't feel any lighter. You don't pay attention. You're not sad. It's like a drop of a bucket. No big deal. Because God is bigger than all those things. He's stronger. Be shocked how strong He is. But also be shocked with how weak we are. We are everything God is, we are not. He is eternal. We are finite. He is all-powerful. We have limited strength. He knows everything. We know so little. He's a God of perfect character. We obviously know that we are not. He's a God that knows what's coming in the future. We do not, only through what He has shared with us and promises us. So everything He is, we are not. We are weak, and we understand that we grow weak, and we need strength. So understand this. We are low on strength, and ultimately, even the strongest person, their strength will fail. You think of someone that you've known, that you've had a span of life, and maybe they've grown older, and the weakness of age sets in. But you know that person, if you remember, you know it. Maybe see a picture from the past. They were young and strong and virile and full of life and vitality, and now all that is sort of drained away by age. No matter how strong we are, we will fail. How strong we are to stand up to temptation, we will fail without God's strength to us. So don't overestimate our own strength. Don't overestimate the place that we are strong and I can do. And this is not a self-help course. This is not New Year's resolutions. This is not just trying harder. This is a transaction that starts with knowing that God is a God of infinite strength. And we also have to know this parameter, that we are people of very limited ability and strength, that we will grow weak. And this is the great thing. He's willing to share. It says in verse 29, He gives power to the weak, and those who have no might, He increases strength. And He continues this in verse 30. Look what He says in verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. We think of strength in children or young men, young women. We understand there's the ability of youth. You know, you see little children running around, and we recently, over the holidays, had all 9 of our grandchildren with us during that period, not all together, but some of them overlapped. And they're just full of energy and life. It snowed, and then those were with us when it snowed couldn't wait to get on their hats and their gloves and just rolled and teared out there. We're tearing around in the snow. I'm just thinking, you know, one fall in the snow, and I'd be ready to go for some traction and a heating pad. They're jumping and falling and all that stuff. They just got energy. Now, this is just an opinion, a little humor here for you, but this is my own personal theory. You know, why do we lose that exuberant strength when we get to be adults? I mean, children can go all day, and we're like, why do they have it? This is my own theory. I think God knew that if adults had that kind of strength, we would have destroyed the world by now. Sometimes it seems like children come close to doing it with all of their rambunctiousness. But we understand they have strength there. But notice what He says. Even you shall faint and be weary. No matter how much youthful energy there is, there's only a limited supply. No matter how much enthusiasm you have for the faith, how much you love the Lord, you need His strength beyond yourself. You need to be shocked of how weak we are. And then he says this, and young men shall utterly fall. Recently, our son has moved here to West Virginia, back from living out of state for a number of years. And a number of our friends, and thank you, some of you probably watching, came to help unload his moving truck. And I was there, and I could carry a few things, but this old back was not able to do much lifting. But there were several guys in their late teens and 20s there, okay, that came, these young guys. And just to see them grab a piece of furniture and lift it up and carry it in without any effort, no moaning and groaning or reaching for a bottle of Tylenol afterwards. It says, thank you, Lord, for youth. Thank you, Lord, for the strength of youth. But even in our best of days, either spiritually or physically, we are still weak. We're going to run out of strength. We're going to run out of steam. That's the reason not only do we need to know God's strength, be shocked by it, also be shocked by how utterly weak often we are. But lastly, we need to exchange our weakness for His strength. Now, I want you to look at verse 31, because this is the summation of this whole chapter and the summation of this promise of strength that He gives us. But those who wait on the Lord, it's not everybody, it's not open to just anybody, but if you do this, this is how this transaction takes place. God is strong, we are weak. But if we wait on the Lord, we'll talk about what that means in a moment, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And they'll mount up with wings like eagles and so forth. Now the word renew your strength, the word renew is an interesting one in the Hebrew. It's actually translated probably close to a dozen different ways because the nuances of meaning that are in it. One of the ways to translate it is to exchange. You put this in and take that out. When Julie and I were freshly married years ago, and we were in our youthful strength all those years ago, the first job I had to help support her family was working at a store and selling retail. And I enjoyed that to a degree. It wasn't what God called me to do long term, but it was a good thing to do to support our family during those days, and a good experience of interacting with people in the public and so forth. Working in retail in those days, you didn't order everything online like we do today, but there was 2 days that stood out in the calendar. One was the day after Thanksgiving, where the big Christmas shopping boom took place. Now we know it as Black Friday. And then the other was the day after Christmas, or the first shopping day after Christmas, when people came to bring all that stuff that they bought the day after Thanksgiving that their uncles and aunts and children and spouses didn't want or didn't fit. That big exchange day. And I remember the store I worked in would set up a special section, put tables out and cash register, and man it with very skilled people. And all the exchanges went there. That tie you bought for Uncle Henry that he didn't like, you could exchange it for one you did like. Or that thing that wound up broken that was not supposed to be broken, you could exchange it for something that was functioning. Or you could exchange it for your money back if that didn't work. That exchange, in essence, this is God's exchange department, His exchange table. You renew your strength. You exchange your weakness for His strength. Those who wait on the Lord will exchange their weakness for His strength. So it really pivots back, and we'll look at the promise as it's spelled out in the end of the verse, but we've got to go back to that, what that means by waiting on the Lord. It means to patiently wait for His power, patiently wait for His strength to come through. I don't like waiting, do you? Sometimes we find ourselves in an office for an appointment, we find ourselves in a waiting room. In COVID days, we usually spend it sitting out in the parking lot in the car waiting for our number to be called. But we have these things called waiting. We find it sort of we're not making progress. We don't like it. We like to be active, keep moving on. It's a waste of time, we think. But sometimes God just wants us to wait to see if we really are going to believe Him or not. Even when it doesn't look likely, when it looks less likely because of the passage of time. You going to trust me? Or you going to not? And it's in that moment that we activate His power. We actively switch to His power and we say, Lord, regardless of what this seems like, what my senses tell me, what my fears are trying to inform me of, but it tells me that your word is true. You're a God of infinite strength. I'm a person of great weakness before this God of strength. I want to exchange my weakness for your strength, and I'm just going to wait, trusting on you to work. You said you'll give me your strength. You said you'll help me. You'll help me. You'll come through for me. Now, am I going to break and run and say, forget this, I'm out of here? And many times we have done that. Many times people have done that. I encountered someone this week online that has a podcast, a former pastor, former evangelical pastor, and the whole podcast is about how they made a journey from faith to atheism. And I'm just like, how does this happen? How do you get from here to there? Well, we don't want to go on that journey. We want to go on a journey from our weakness to God's strength. And sometimes maybe it was the hurts or disappointments in life or things in Scripture that we can't really figure out or things in life we can't figure out. Well, remember this, what it says back in this verse 28, his understanding is unsearchable. We have limited strength. Sometimes we can't figure things out. There's things in the Word of God that I don't fully understand, and I don't think I'll ever understand, certainly this side of heaven. But we believe it. Why? Because God has declared it to be true. And we need to be more on the fact of God is a God of strength and infinite ability. How wondrous he is, rather than saying, I can't figure him out, so he doesn't fit my template. No, we wait on him. We simply come and we say, Lord, in this transaction of faith, to switch to his power, we say, Lord, I know I'm weak. I know you can give me strength. I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to trust you, actively trust in you. And right now, Lord, I just transfer as an act of faith my confidence, my hope, my everything from my worry and my concern and my efforts into your strength. Now, part of that strength means we maybe get up and do something. It doesn't mean total passivity, but it means in everything that we do and whatever we're doing, we're just going to rest in him. We're going to wait. We're going to sit there. We're not going to go anywhere else. We're not going to look anywhere else. Not go look at those idols that they did in their day. Not go look at the self-help of the day. This is not about self-help, resolutions, and all that sort of thing. This is about trusting in a God who is of infinite strength. So it's a spiritual transaction, a transaction that says this: I know God is a God of infinite strength. I'm shocked by that. I'm a person of great weakness, and sometimes I'm shocked by that. But Lord, I'm going to now, in this situation, whatever, wherever I'm at in life, time, opportunity, burden, hurt, worry, sickness, whatever it is, in this time of life, Lord, I'm going to trust that you're going to give me the strength to do what you want me to do and get through and endure and be victorious for you. So I'm just going to sit here and wait. I'm not going to run anywhere else. I'm not going to turn anywhere else. I'm not going to expect anything else. I'm waiting on you to give me strength. And here's what God promises. Here's the promise. We can constantly experience his power. But those who wait on the Lord, I'm not looking anywhere else. I'm believing in you. I believe you will do it. I know you'll come through. I'm counting on that. For those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Transact their weakness for his strength. He will renew their strength. He'll give us strength. And then we'll be able to do this. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Wow. I mean, that we have a hard time relating to that. That's sort of just way up there. In their day, an eagle had no natural enemies. There was no weapons that the humankind had invented to that point that could endanger an eagle. They roosted and nested way up on the sides of cliffs that were inaccessible to humans. They would just soar over through the skies. I mean, they just sort of were carefree. And he says, when you mount up with wings like eagles, you're just going to soar. In spite of the winds, in spite of whatever's going on down there below, it's going to pull you to a higher place. And that's what worship does. That's what time spent with God does. Remember, we've talked about that in this series, that we get our strength from spending time with God. We get our strength from God, just asking for his help, come boldly before the throne of grace. And we also get our strength by just continuing to trust in him. Renew our strength as we wait upon the Lord. Lord, I'm going to trust you. No one else, not myself, not us. I transfer that over to you as an act of faith. And then we're going to soar. Not only that, he gives this other picture. They shall run and not be weary. I've spent little time flying, and I would not be able to fly as an eagle flies, but up on that plane in an airplane or that sort of thing. And I've not spent a great deal of time running. But if you run, and I have some friends that do marathons, and I'm amazed at how they can train their body to run for, you know, half marathon 13 miles or marathon 26 miles. How do you do that? I mean, that's just amazing. So you runners out there, I stand in amazement of you. But you know this as well as I do. You can only run so far, even if you're trained and in great shape. Even a runner is going to get up. But he says, what'd you say here? They should run and not be weary. See, that doesn't make any sense. That's beyond human strength. Yes, because he's not talking about human strength. He's talking about God's strength that he will give you if you will just trust in him. You renew your strength, exchange your weakness for his strength as you just wait on him. I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to believe him. I choose to believe in him. Then he gives one more. They shall walk and not faint. Spent more time walking than running and more time running than flying, but this gets us right down to the everyday, doesn't it? That we can constantly experience the power as we walk through life. You need some strength today? Here's the exchange. Here's how this promise works. I'll go over it one more time. You just take a good look into God's Word and in prayer and in worship and think about Him. Maybe read all of the 40th chapter of Isaiah would be a great place to start. Review our message today and be reminded, God, you're a great God. You hold all the waters in the hollow of your hand. The nations are a drop of a bucket. You measure the heavens with a span. Yet you're greater than all the things that man could ever devise and ever make. You're a great God. And also, you're a strong God, and I'm a weak person. Lord, I know I have limitations. Help me to understand my limitations. Help me to accept my limitations, but also help me to remember this. He says, as he says in this verse, that he will give strength. He will give strength to those who need it. He will give strength to those who are without strength. And it says he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. That's what he says in 28. And he says, those who wait upon the Lord, here's how this transaction takes place. Know he is strong, know I am weak, and also then exchange my weakness for his strength by just believing in him, trusting in him. What he says in the word, this is what I'm resting on. Don't panic, don't break, don't run, don't go hiding. Just trust in him. You just sit and you wait in his wonderful truth and his wonderful promises. And here's what he promises to give you. They shall renew their strength. You'll mount up with wings like eagles, soar over it all. Run, you haven't stamina to keep going when everybody else has given out. And you'll walk, just that consistency of life, walking without fainting, keep going. God wants to give you his strength. He's promised you his strength. And we've talked today how this transaction of strength takes place. But it is only available to those of us who know him as Savior. If you never trusted him as Savior, friend, I would encourage you to just think about this. You can transfer, you can exchange your sin and your shame and our terrible records. We can exchange that. You can exchange that for forgiveness and a relationship with God Almighty, who will give you strength to live this life and strength throughout all the days of eternity. If you never trust him as Savior, get in touch with me or someone at the church. We'd love to share with you, talk with you in a non-threatening way, help you understand what it means to be a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. If you're one of his children, you need to keep the exchange counter open and take your weakness and exchange it for his strength, knowing that he is strong, we are weak, and we need to trust him through all the ups and downs and twists and turns and curves of life. He promises you his strength. Let me read verse 31 one more time as we conclude. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those are God's words to you.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.